Does anybody here tonight remember when you went down to the water in Jesus' name? Why don't you give God some praise right now for what it felt like when you went down to the water? Come on, somebody exalt him tonight. You ought to rejoice that another person's name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, tonight, we have one of our own who's going to come and preach to us. Is anybody really excited about the Word of God going forth in the house tonight? He's going to get buttoned up and straightened up, and he's going to come and preach to us. But if you're going to preach with the preacher tonight, I want you just to lift up your hands and just begin to give God glory and praise and tell God, I'm going to respond to the Word of God that goes forth. Brother Reggie, come and preach to us.
Is anybody glad to be an apostolic church on a Wednesday night in 2012? Do you remember when you went down in the water? Do you remember when you were buried in a water grave? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be a one God apostolic. I want everything this book has to offer. If it says I can have it, then I want it. Don't leave me standing outside the gates wanting. If it says I can get the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues today like they did then, then I want it. Can I tell you, God's still pouring out the Holy Ghost in 2012. Woo! People are still speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance. It's the fulfillment of the prophet Joel where he says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He didn't care. He didn't care what you look like. He doesn't care where you come from. He doesn't care what your pedigree is. All he cares is that you're available and you're a willing vessel. Woo! Somebody glad for the Holy Ghost in this place. I heard a story back in the early 1900s when all this fire was falling and people were talking in tongues for the first time. It had been a few years and years since these things had transpired. But in Topeka, Kansas, and at Azusa Street, the Spirit of God began to descend and fall on those few. And it shook the whole world. And revival began to radiate into foreign countries, into the states in the United States of America like nothing before. But they had not received the revelation of the mighty God in Christ, that it was Jesus, the Almighty One, God with us, that was hanging on that tree at Calvary. They had not received that yet. They had not come to an understanding, Brother Jerry, that the fulfillment of Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, that name is Jesus, that the authority's in that name, that the blood's in that name, and when you get baptized in Jesus' name, you get the blood put on you. Now your blood bought. Now you're a new creature and you fulfill the scripture. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. They had not received that understanding yet. God was giving it to them incrementally. And I read a story, or I heard about a story, where they were calling it the New Light Movement. It was called New Light. It was new revelation, Brother Cedric. They were telling people, maybe you got baptized once in the Trinity, in the titles, but you need to be re-baptized in the name of Jesus. They were telling people like Paul told them. He said, you got to be rebaptized. You weren't baptized the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way to get baptized. And this movement where people were being baptized in Jesus' name was spreading all over the country. And there was a preacher by the name of G.T. Haywood. And those guys who were in opposition to what the Spirit of God was doing with the revelation of Jesus' name baptism, they knew how influential G.T. Haywood was. They knew how anointed and how powerful he was. And they didn't have email and they didn't have text messaging back then. So they wrote a little letter to Brother Haywood. And they said, you got to watch out, Brother Haywood, for this new light movement. You got to watch out for these crazy Jesus name people. You got to be careful about them. And G.T. Haywood, he wrote that famous line back to them. He said, it's too late, my friends. It's too late. I already been to the water and I already been baptized. Hey, is there anybody in this place? You're excited that I've been to the water and I've been baptized. Come on right now. You ought to lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord. There's no other name given under heaven whereby I must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee's gonna bow and every tongue's gonna confess. Woo! I got an inheritance now. I'm in line with royalty now, brother. I used to just be a regular average Joe. I didn't have any inheritance. I didn't have any pedigree of royalty. But when I got baptized in Jesus' name, it's no longer Reggie Smith anymore. It's Reggie Smith Jesus. The Smith family don't have inheritance. The Smith family don't have a treasure. But now I got the name of Jesus on me, and I got a treasure in heavenly places, where thieves can't steal, where rust can't corrupt. Woo! I don't know about you, but I won't forget that day I went down. I won't forget that day I felt the goosebumps. I felt the electricity come in my soul. And God inundated me. God filled me. Jesus cried out. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow living waters. Does anybody have that life flowing out of you right now? Does anybody have it moving in your vessel? That's the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I want more Holy Ghost. I'm not satisfied with what I got, Brother Jerry. I want more of it. Woo! God have mercy. Well, you go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that there's nobody in this city, Brother Ronnie, that has more influence, that has more capacity and power than an apostolic Holy Ghost filled person? That somebody's got the name and the blood on their life. Somebody's got the Almighty in their soul and in their grasp. Amen. The angel came to Jacob, and Jacob was wrestling with that angel. And that angel said, let me go. And he said, no, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. There's nobody like an apostolic person who's filled with the Holy Ghost, who can hold on to God. I'm in the covenant, man. I got a contract with Jesus, and he hears my prayer, and I can ask him, and he can move on my petition like none other. Woo, God, that's why the most impacting thing, the most relevant thing, the most potent thing that you can do is not go to a voter's booth and cast your ballot, but to cast your ballot on your knees and begin to pray for a country that's going an opposite direction from where we're going. Begin to pray for a country that's lost in debauchery and immorality. It's perilous times, but do I have some Holy Ghost filled people who know how to pray? Hallelujah. Well, if you hadn't realized it yet, the pastor's gone. How many love your pastor? He'll be back Sunday. We miss him when he's gone. And I don't know if you know it, but he has been in collegiate studies and been pursuing his master's degree for quite some time. And he is actually, that's where he's at. He is in California currently attending his graduation in his final week so that he can receive his master's degree. You ought to praise God for a man of God, for a shepherd who doesn't lay around all day long, who says, oh, I got everything I need. No, he doesn't say that. He said, I want more. I got to grow. I got to develop myself more because I got some sheep following me that's not going to be settled for second best. Woo, God have mercy. I'm thankful for a pastor who's willing to develop and invest in himself, who realizes that he doesn't have everything he needs, but I must continue to grow, Peter. I've got to continue to develop myself. I must continue to learn. I must continue to walk in the principles of God and find new places. You know, there may be a lot of things out there that you can reach the end of, you can reach the depth of, but there's one thing you'll never reach the depth of, and that's the knowledge, the wisdom, the power, the glory of Jesus. You'll never reach the depth of this book. You can read it one day and it speaks one way to you. You can read it another day and find something completely different in it. It's a well that has no bottom. But it takes hunger to find it. The Bible says he hides it from those, but he reveals it to the ones that have desire, the ones that have hunger. Brother Kedrick, the things that are valuable in this world, they take some pursuing after. They take some digging after. You don't usually find gold on the top of the surface. You got to dig, man. You got to mine, man. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. He said, you got to have the desire, you got to have the want to, and if you got the want to, that's all it takes. It doesn't matter about how intelligent you are, it doesn't matter about how good looking you are. If you got the want to, God will reveal it to you, God will deal with you, God will instruct you, God will enrich you in his word. I know one thing. There's only one thing that I can grab a hold of in my hand that represents truth. And that's this holy writ. That's this holy book that was ordained of God. That's unadulterated. That doesn't have any errors. It's my life source. It's my direction. It's my roadmap to a life that's everlasting. Hallelujah. So, I'm glad my pastor's working on himself. You know, you can't, if you ever get to the place, Brother Corey, where you can't be taught, where you can't learn something, then you're in a heap of trouble. I don't know about you, but I don't know everything. but I know the one who does. Woo! And God, I made us all special, and he made us all unique. And I don't care where you come from or your education. There's not one person that you can't, it may take a little bit of time, but there's not one person that you can't find something that you can learn from, that they can teach you and they can instruct you a little bit. I don't want to have an arrogant attitude, but I want to live a life of humility, understanding that God can talk to me through any vessel. Right. Oh, wait a minute, though. I don't really like your style. I don't really like the way you deliver the mail. I like a manuscript style. I like it to be a little bit more set and a little bit more organized. No, I'm not going to let it block me from receiving from God. God's able to use anybody. God's able to use anybody. I don't care about your oratorical ability, my brother. All I care is, have you been in the presence of God? Have you heard from God? Woo! I love the preached word of God. The Bible says he manifests his word through preaching. I had somebody say a couple weeks ago, they said, when I was handling the service, he said, man, it's passionate. Well, I want to give all my passion to God. I don't want to be calm, cool, and collective up here. I don't want to just be chilling out. No, it's more important than that to me. I got to give it all. I got to give my everything. Can I tell you, you don't want a cool, calm, and collective preacher. You don't want somebody that's just chilling out, just wants to scratch your back, just wants to tell you what you want to hear. No, my soul's hanging in the balance, brother. My soul's hanging in the balance. There's heaven to gain. That's right. Woo, God. I want somebody whose blood-bought, spirit-filled, ministering the word of God. I don't want somebody just telling me a little cute story, but I got to have answers. I got to have answers. I want somebody to deliver it to me straight. I don't want any partial truth preaching. I don't want any sugarcoating the gospel. No, sir. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Hey, if you live in this thing right, if you're walking for God right, people aren't going to like it, Brother Kedrick. People aren't going to like it. They're going to talk about you. They're going to make fun of you. The Bible says, woe unto them when all men speak well of you. If everybody's speaking good of you, you're not doing this thing right. But I'm not living it for the world. I'm not living it for my friends. I'm not living it for my family. I'm living it for Jesus, and he's worth my everything. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what it takes. Well, praise God. That's not my message. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I promise you, I believe, you know, I'm not necessarily a seasoned preacher. But here recently, since the pastor's been traveling so much, I've been ministering in the service. And I don't know, Brother Jerry, but I'm thinking some people might consider me a long-winded preacher. I don't know now. You know, I might be completely oblivious. You know, you might not think that. But I think some people might think that I start early and finish late. But tonight, Brother Kedrick, I'm going to start late and I'm going to finish early, okay? Oh, I feel a skeptic in the house. But I'm serious. I'm serious. Hallelujah. If we don't do anything else good, we've already done good. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is about increase. And we just had a baby born in the house, and there's nothing like a newborn baby. Woo! 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain or win. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Why don't you put your Bibles down, lift your hands in the air, and begin to call on Jesus. Lord Jesus, we need you in this place. Lord God, we need your word to minister in this house. Lord God, you know I can't do it. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability in my own intellect. But God, speak through me. Lord Jesus, let's speak. Let's see deliverance in this place. Let's see some chains fall off in this place. Let the host of heaven move in this place. Let somebody receive a release in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you clap your hands and begin to give him high praise. The people of the Lord can't be quiet. The people of the Lord make a loud noise. The people of the Lord clap their hands as biblical command. The Bible commands me, let them praise him in the dance. Let them praise him with the organs and with the drums. We praise God like the Bible says it. Hallelujah. You can be seated. It's 8:22. Anybody want to synchronize? I do remember somewhere in the Bible where God stopped the time. I don't know. We'll see. I do remember also a few services back when the time did stop. You remember that? I kept looking up there and Stephen was doing exhortation and that thing just kept saying the same time and same time and same time. I thought, whoa, Steve, you go, man. How'd you do that? I'm going to have to figure that one out. But I don't think that's going to happen tonight. We're in a race. We're on a journey. I got a destiny in mind. I got a goal that I'm working towards. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's literally, I'm a new creation. God's made something completely new. He shaped me and formed me completely new. I'm a new creation. Can anybody testify to the fact that you went when you were baptized, when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, that you became a new man, that the old man was passed away, that when you came out of that water, there was a freshness. There was a restoration. Woo, God. I'm a new man walking in these shoes. I don't talk the same way. I don't walk the same way. I don't hang around the same people anymore because now I'm new. Amen. And when that baby's born, they're perfect. All you ladies in the house, when you saw that baby, you saw perfection. Now, everybody, mom and dad, thinks their baby's beautiful, right? And I will not bust your bubble. I'm just not even going to go any farther on that one. But if they're healthy, they're all beautiful.
Oh, yeah. They're healthy, Paul. They're healthy, Paul. Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
If they got all their organs and everything's functioning properly, then they're beautiful. Isn't that right, Brother Corey? And when we become new, we're perfect. God has redeemed us. God has chosen us. God has wiped away all the transgressions and lawlessness, all the former lifestyle. You know what? I got how many second, third generation people I got in the house? Amen. We talk a lot about the old life way and the old way, but I can tell you right now that if you ought to be first generation, I don't care if your mama lived this and your granddaddy lived this and your great-granddaddy lived this or grandmother, every person that comes in the kingdom of God has to have a place where they decide, I'm going to run the race. I'm not worried about what anybody says, Brother Kedrick. I'm not worried about what they want to criticize me. I don't care about how I look like or what I dress like, but I'm running the race. I'm not living it for my mama. I'm not living it for my daddy. I'm not living it for my granddad, but I'm living it for me because I've met the Savior. I don't care how old you are. If you've been raised in the church, you ought to have a first generation mentality. The Bible says we're all by nature the children of wrath. When you are born into this world, you are born into sin. So it doesn't matter what your pedigree is. You've been raised in this thing or you hadn't been raised in this thing. We're all first generation. I got to meet Jesus for myself. I got to have him talk to me and walk with me and deliver me for myself. Can I get some second or third generation, fourth or fifth generation, whoever you are, stand up and shout. Say, I've had an encounter with the Savior and I'm not depending on what my mama says or my daddy says, I found him for myself. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. But when you come up out of that water, now you embark on a new journey. You embark on a new life. And I don't care how beautiful they are. When they mess up that diaper, it stinks. I have heard some parents that say it doesn't. But I'm going to tell you right now as a witness and as a testimony, when they mess that diaper up, it stinks. And when I come to God, there's a place where he begins to work on me. He begins to draw me. I got to grow up, Brother Kedrick. I can't always stay goo-goo and gaga. I got to learn how to talk. I got to learn how to walk. I got to learn how to eat by myself. I got to learn how to stand on my own two feet. And if you get to be 10, 11 years old, and I'm still having to spoon feed you, then there's something wrong. But along that walk, along that journey, when I came up and I'm new, and now I'm walking, now I got a goal in mind. There's going to be times, Brother Kedrick, that I don't do exactly what I'm supposed to do. There's going to be times where I don't speak when he tells me to speak, where I don't act when he tells me to act. There's going to be times when I mess up. There's going to be times, Brother Cedric. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm busting your bubble a little bit here. But, you know, when you first get in church, you think everybody's perfect. Ain't nobody got no problems in here. Look at all these crazy folks jumping up and down and running and doing all that stuff. I had a guy tell me a week or so ago, he said, there's one problem I got with your church. He said, man, I love it and everything. He's visited here several times. He said, I don't know how every time y'all come together, everybody's got all that energy and that passion, and they're all jumping up and down and running. He said, sometimes when I go to church, I just want to chill out and refresh and rest. I said, hey, brother, when you think of the goodness of Jesus, just because we jump up and down and we run and shout don't mean we ain't worked all day, don't mean we're not tired, don't mean we're not weary in our body, but when the fire of the Holy Ghost begins to move, I got to run and I got to shout and I can't stay still. But if you're new here, I'm going to go ahead and give you revelation. We're not all perfect. And we're all in a growth curve. And God is working on us. And God's taking some things out of us. And God's putting some new stuff in us. And on this journey, there's going to be times that I slip and I fall and I fail. I read through the pages of the Bible, the men we call patriarchs, the men we follow after, the men we want to be like, the men that God used, God anointed, God even calls to be in the lineage of the body that he would one day wear. I read about a man named Abraham who, when God called him, said, I want you to leave everybody. But he brought Lot with him. I read about Abraham where, when God said, I've got a promise for you. You and Sarah are going to have a baby. I got a promise for you. I read about a man who didn't believe, who got impatient, and tried to create the promise by his own means. And that's why you're paying $3.50 a gallon right now. Because of Abraham. Father of the faithful. Abraham walked with God. He was called his friend. But in that walk, Brother Kedrick, he didn't always get it right. There were some times when he failed, when he messed up, when he doubted, when he didn't do everything he was supposed to do. I read about a man named Jacob. The Bible says the name itself means supplanter, means conniver. He tricked his pops into thinking he was the firstborn. He was a deceiver. But God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau, which was his brother, I've hated. He said, I see something in Jacob. I see a hunger. I see a fire. I see a desire to want to be like me, to want to work for me, to want to have everything I've got for him. I see in that man Jacob, though he's got some disturbances, though he's got some hang-ups, though he's got some things I'm trying to work out of him, if I find a man who has a hunger and a desire, I'm not worried about his hang-ups right now. I can deal with that. I read about a man named Jacob who made some mistakes and messed up. I read about a Moses who felt the call of God on his life, who was tired of the bondage of the people, his people, said, I'm going to do something about it. And he jumped the gun, and he tried to help God. And the Bible said that he saw an Egyptian abusing one of the Hebrew children. And he raised up and he killed the Egyptian. He was a murderer. And then he got scared to death of what was going to happen. He laid his hand to something. He jumped the gun. He was quick on the trigger. And he said, I got to get out of here, man. I got to go. So he hangs out in the desert for 40 years. Sunburned man in the desert talking to a tree. He sees a burning tree in the desert. And God said, hey, Moses, I got something for you to do. Wait a minute, God. I ain't nothing but a failure. I've been in the backwoods of this desert for 40 years. I'm sunburnt. I'm wore out. I ain't got any promise. There was a time when I was young and I was strong and I thought I was the one who was going to be the deliverer. But then God shows up years later and says, I still got my hand on you, Moses. I still got something for you. I still got a way for you. I'm still going to use you. Moses said, I can't even talk right. But Moses was obedient. And Moses says, I'm going to follow after Jesus because I understand there's a prize to win. I understand that there's a goal to be fulfilled, and I'm going to be the one that does it. I'm not going to let my failures cause me to lose the promise. I'm not going to let my mistakes cause me to not receive what God has for me. And we're living this life, we're living this Christian walk, and we're running a race. And there's going to be many times where I'm going down that track, where I'm going down this race course, and I slip, and I fall, and I don't say the right thing, and I lay down in my misery and in my shame. In my quest for godliness and righteousness. I know what he wants, and I'm attempting to achieve it. But sometimes I'm not all I need to be. I'm striving for godliness. And the word godliness literally means God-towardness. I'm going toward God. I'm moving in the direction of heavenly places. I'm moving in the direction of the words of God, the enlightenment of God, the call of God in my life. But sometimes I'm going to slip and I'm going to fall on that journey. And sometimes the enemy's going to come to me and say, you're not worthy. You should look at you. You said that. You did that. You laid your hands to that. Why do you even call yourself a Christian? But in a godliness, it doesn't mean that I got everything right. Righteousness doesn't mean I'm perfect. But it means when I get knocked down on my back, I don't just simply lay there in my shame and my pity party, but I get back up again and say, I'm going to try again. I'm going to believe again. I'm going to walk again. I'm going to have faith. Faith again. I'm going to pursue God again. Godliness means that when I get knocked down, I get back up again. It means that I don't stay down and I don't get up and turn around and go back, Brother Cedric, but I get back up again and I get back up to the plate and say, I'm going to try again. I've heard a quote, and everybody probably heard it before. But he who's never failed has never attempted anything. He's never tried. But the enemy of your soul will try to wreak havoc in your life and fill you with shame and fill you with guilt and try to get you to lay on that track in your misery and in your pain to keep you from receiving what God has for you. As I read through the scripture, every person that I find had failures in their life. Had times where they didn't do it right. But they didn't settle for it. And they didn't turn around and go back. But they continued to get back up and go again. I read about a man who had the keys of the kingdom. He was the one who said it right. He was the one that answered the right questions. He was the one, when everybody was afraid on the boat, he was the one that said, hey, Lord, bid me to come. Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter stepped up and said, bid me to come. He was the one that would step out. He was the one that would say the right things most of the time. And finally, they come to the place. And Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem. And he said, they're going to take me and they're going to crucify me. And he said, it's going to be fulfilled, the scripture. They'll smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They'll be scattered. And Peter pipes up. Says, no way, no way, not me. Maybe these other guys, but not me. I'll be with you to the end. I'll die for you. I'm not ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed of you. I don't care what they're saying, but I'm going to be there with you. And we know the story. They take Jesus to the palace. They begin to try him. And Peter's standing outside. And three times, they ask him, aren't you one of those crazy disciples? Aren't you from Galilee? Weren't you with him? He said, no, man, not me. Not me. He was afraid. He was scared of what they were going to do and what they were going to say. And Jesus had already told him that, Pete, I know you're saying that, but you're going to deny me. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. He said, because Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Jesus prophesied to him, told him what was going to happen. And in the midst of the denial, in the midst of his failures, in the midst of it all, the third time, he said, I don't know him. And he begins to curse. And he begins to blaspheme. And the Bible says Jesus looks over at him. And it's not a look of condemnation. And it's not a look of disgust. But it's a look of, I'm going to draw you back, Pete. I know you messed up. I know you failed. I know you're disappointed in what you're doing. But I'm doing this right now for you to have access, for you to be able to overcome that failure in your life. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. He loves Jesus. He's just been 3 years with Jesus. He's walked with him. He's seen his compassion. He's seen his majesty. He was on the mountain of transfiguration where Jesus opens up his body and it shines like the noonday sun. He was there, but now he goes out in a court somewhere weeping bitterly because he's a failure. It's not that he doesn't love God. It's that he's absolutely disgusted with himself. And the enemy would say, Pete, ain't no use living for him any longer. You've messed up. You failed. And every person in this place, you felt the same feeling where you've messed up and you've done some stuff and you love Jesus, but you can't seem to love yourself anymore. You're disgusted with yourself. I'm going to tell you something right now. Backsliders, they don't leave God. They don't turn away from God most of the time. The general rule is they don't do that because they don't believe in God. They don't leave because they don't believe in the Creator anymore. They backslide because they lose faith in their ability to do it. They're disgusted with themselves. They don't have confidence that they can have the ability to do it. But I tell you in this place tonight, God wants to talk to somebody and tell you your failure does not have to hold you hostage. You don't have to dwell in shame and guilt. Brother, he's come to accuse me. He's come to resist me. You know why? He resists the one he fears the most. He resists the one he fears the most. I'm going to tell you right now, there's people in this place that you're being held hostage by mistakes that you've made, held hostage by your past, held hostage by the disgust and the guilt and the shame, and it's preventing you from walking in what God has for your life. There's some people in this place, there's some intercessors in this place that you've never walked in intercessory prayer before, but God's calling you to intercessory prayer. There's some people in this place that God's calling you to ministry capacities, and you've said, well, I've messed up, I've done wrong, I've shamed God, and I'm disgusted with myself, and the enemy's trying to press you down and keep you down, but God's calling you, God's looking at you tonight and saying, I shed my blood for you. If you'll get back up again, if you'll try again, believe again, have faith again. I'm not gonna let my mistakes and my failures keep me from obtaining, keep me from achieving. Right. Jesus dies, is buried in the grave, and rises again. And the ladies come before the tomb to pay their respects, if you please, to decorate it, to bring the spices and the oil. And as they get there, they find the angel of the Lord has rolled away the stone, has moved away the stone. And they walk into that cave, and they see an angel that's representative as a young man. And he said, he's not here, but he's alive, and he has risen. And he said, what I want you to do, ladies, I want you to go tell your disciples and Peter. Woo! Peter said, I don't know if I can do it any longer. I don't know if I can make it. I've made a mess of my life. I've messed up. I've said the wrong things. But Jesus calls him again. Jesus said, I can make you great. I'm not finished with you. I got purpose for your life. You're going to be the one where the Holy Ghost falls for the first time. You mean the Holy Ghost falls on failures? Yes, it does. Everybody in the Bible has failed, but they rose up out of their failure and they accomplished great things. Most of the time in the scripture, it was after the failure that they accomplished their greatest victories. Woo. Hebrews chapter 12 says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Every person that is written in that pages of that book. David messed up. Jacob messed up. Abraham messed up. Jonah messed up. But they didn't stay messed up. They got back up again. They didn't dwell in their self-pity party. They didn't dwell in shame. They didn't allow it to hold them back. They didn't turn around and go back. But they began to pursue God again. And there today, we're in a race. Today, we're in a journey. And I may sometimes, as I go over a mountain and I go through a swamp on that journey, it's not all beautiful. It's not all sunshine. But I go through some hard places and I get hung up in the hard places and I might fall and I might slip. But there's somebody in the pages of the scripture. I got Abraham. I got David. I got Peter on the sidelines, Brother Cedric, saying, if you can do, if I did it, you can make it too. If I failed, but I got back up again, rejoice not over me, mine enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise. I shall arise. That we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. What is that weight? I came out of that water and I was a new creature. But as I begin to walk, as I begin to live life, as I begin to reach for God, as I begin to strive for a goal. You know, really, I'm wrapping up. You know, really, in the strictest sense, a sinner can't sin. In the strictest sense. Because sin literally means to miss the mark. It literally means that I'm shooting for something and I don't hit it. I missed it. And you can't miss the mark when you're not trying to hit it. Right? So ultimately, the only person that can sin in the strictest sense is a Christian who's shooting for something, who's trying to hit something, who's striving for excellence, who's striving for godliness and righteousness. He said, the weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. But that weight becomes the mistakes of my past that haunt me, that try to shame me and keep me out of what God wants for me. Paul said it this way in Romans 7. He said, what I want to do, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? What was he talking about? He was talking about his past. He was talking about his failures. He was talking about the times that he messed up. They tell me, I don't know, maybe it's mythology. I'm not sure if it's fact or fiction. But they say what he was referring to was that in the Roman times, in their executions, when a man committed murder, that they would take one of the forms of execution for the murderer was they would take the person that they killed, the dead body, and they would strap it on to the man who murdered him. And it was punishable by death if you were to disconnect the dead body. And as the murderer continued to live life, that dead body began to putrefy and decompose. And ultimately, the one that they killed was the means of their own execution, because that infection got in them, got on them. And that's exactly like what the enemy tries to do with your past and with your mistakes. He tries to let that heavy load ride on your back and cause you where you're striving to do good. You want to do good, but you falter because you got the weight of your past on your back. And though God has forgiven you and you've prayed, you don't forgive yourself. You still remember it, and it becomes shameful to you, and guilt ravishes your soul, and you can't reach what God has for your life because of that weight of your past, the weights that's on you, attached to you. And eventually, if you don't deal with it, it'll begin to steal the life out of you. It'll begin to steal your joy and your hope. It'll begin to steal your confidence. But I know a man who said, I love you even in your failures. I don't love you because simply of performance. I loved you before you came to me, and I love you now, and I believe in you, and I have confidence in you. He's calling us today to not to be disgusted with our past, to not dwell in guilt and shame because of I didn't do everything right, I didn't say everything right. But God has a purpose for every individual in this place. God has a purpose for you in this house. There's no telling what he wants to do in you, but I cannot allow, as I'm walking this journey, as I'm pressing into this journey, I cannot allow my shame and my guilt, because I didn't always do it right, to hold me down and to hold me back. No, sir, I'm going to get back up again. If I get knocked out, if I get knocked down, I'm going to get back up again, and I'm going to pray again. I'm going to get back up again, and I'm going to worship again. I'm going to get back up again, and I'm going to fight again. Paul said, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight, and now a crown of glory is up in heaven for me. me. God's got a heavenly places for me. I'm not going to be held, encompassed, and weighted down by my past, but I'm going to walk in victory. Come on, Lindsay. I'm closing. Y'all just go ahead and stand up. Jesus, somebody lift your hands in this place. Somebody praise God that his blood washes away every sin, every transgression, every heaviness. I'm on a journey. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to let the circumstances in my life, the faltering, the places where I didn't do everything right. I got a host of heaven. There's Peter on back there walking beside me saying, you can do it. You can make it. You can live. You can walk in this. There's Abraham saying, yeah, I messed up, but I became the father of the faithful. You got promise in your life. I'm not going to let that body of death stay hold on me. I'm coming to mercy. I'm coming to grace. Grace set me free. Grace is for me. Grace is working in my life. No matter what my age is in the kingdom of God, grace is on my side. I can stand. I can obtain excellence because I can disregard the shame and the disgust that I have for myself. Is there anybody in this place that say, I'm more than a conqueror? I understand I'm not everything I need to be, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. Is there somebody that can say that? I'm in a pursuit of heaven, and I may mess up, but I'm not going to let that shame and that guilt keep me from achieving, keep me from getting what God has for my life. The song says, in my house there's been a mercy killing. The man I used to be has been crucified. And the death of this man is a final way of revealing, a spiritual way to live. I had to die. When I was baptized, I became a new creation. That old man was put away. That body of sins was put away. But sometimes that dead man tries to rise up again, tries to condemn me, tries to tell me that because I'm not everything I know I need to be, he tries to rise up in me again. He tries to condemn and shame me, but I'm going to take that dead man back to a water grave. And I'm going to tell him, you're not staying on my back. I'm taking this monkey off my back. I'm taking this shame off my back. There's somebody in this place. You got shame. You got guilt. And you can't accomplish what God wants in your life. You ought to step out of the aisle and say, I'm cutting this monkey off my back. I'm taking it to a water grave. I'm burying this thing. I'm not going to be. He's not going to steal my joy. He's not going to steal my life, but I'm walking in victory tonight. Come on. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. In this walk, you've experienced where you've been disgusted with your performance and yourself. You felt guilt. You felt the shame. But tonight, God wants to release us from that shame. He wants to cut off that body of death, that past, those memories. They got to die. They got to die. I'm going to live. I'm going to see the glory of God. Let's pray.
In my house, there's been a mercy killing. The man I used to be has been crucified, and the death of this man was the final way of revealing. In a spirit,
come on, kill that man.
To live, I had to die, and now if I let that dead man linger in me, I might get a little idle in my way.
Make it. You can accomplish it. I'm not letting this dead man stay on me any longer, but I'm going to live. There's people here right now that God has ministries for you, that God has destinies for you, that God wants you to walk in some places that are great, that are triumphant, that are victorious, but you're not able to get there right now because of the things of your past that are weighing you down. But God has come to you today, and he's saying, I believe in you, I'm for you, I'm on your side. And we get back up again and kill that old man and live again. Come on, right now. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. If you ever forgave me, you'll forgive me now. If you've ever poured your mercy out, you'll pour your mercy out now. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. You thought he was disappointed in you. Everybody has messed up. Everybody has failed. Everybody has slipped up. He's not disappointed in you. He'll only be disappointed in you if you turn around, if you stop getting back up again and fighting again and walking again and trying again. They asked Jesus one day, he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times in a day? He said, I'm going to tell you, 70 times seven. That's 490 times. That's every 3 minutes in a 24-hour period. You think if he told me to forgive my brother like that, he's not going to forgive me? I'm not going to be held in shame. God has forgiveness for me. I'm going to get back up again. I'm going to fight again. I've come to win this race. I hadn't come to fall out. I hadn't come to quit, but I've come to receive the prize. Can anybody say that tonight? I'm going to win the prize. I'm going to endure to the end. I'm going to fight the fight. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, right now, why don't you just say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you for all you're doing. I thank you that you're always there to pick me up again. Ah, thank you, Jesus, that you're always there to tell me I can do it. I can make it. Praise God. Well, appreciate you. Love you. I didn't make it. I really thought I was going to get you out of here in time to hit Jim and Nick's before they close at 9 o'clock. Well, I'm sorry. Go to Jim and Nick's tomorrow. Praise God. Sister Katie Tapley's funeral's tomorrow. Trustful. Right out. Also, we have an apostolic service Sunday morning and Sunday night. The pastor will be back. Praise God. All right. Why don't we go out of here in victory and triumph, understanding that if God's on my side, there's nobody that can be against me. Greet your neighbor and hug some necks. Tell them you appreciate them in Jesus' name.